Thank you, Brother James. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah this morning, the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. And I'd like to read the first, second, and third verse. I'd like to challenge you concerning your relationship to Jesus Christ this morning. How personal is your relationship with Jesus Christ? The book of Jonah, chapter 1, let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we will pray. Jonah, chapter 1, verse number 1 reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before us. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we pray now that you would teach us from your precious word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. How personal is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Will you allow me to ask you that very question this morning? First and foremost, we need to make sure that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In our natural state, there is a serious wedge between man and God. That wedge is called sin. But the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ has provided a solution to bridge man back to God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive, resurrected by the Spirit." His death, burial and resurrection, the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's only solution for our sin problem. And my friend, God's eternal vaccine to cure our sin disease is in person and with the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is 100% guaranteed to cure you from this deadly disease called sin and give you life eternal. For the Bible teaches us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me ask you this morning, how personal is your relationship with Jesus Christ? But first and foremost, we need to make sure that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, by faith, you can enter into that relationship and receive him as your own personal Savior. You might say this morning, "Pastor, yes, that issue is settled once and for all." I'm glad to hear. Let's now consider the issue. How personal is your relationship with Jesus Christ? See, with any relationship, it needs to grow. It is a growing experience. Whether it be in a marriage, or a new friendship between two parties, or your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it is a growing experience. It needs to grow. But just as a relationship can grow between two parties, it can also drift apart between those parties. Where once there was a closer relationship, but no longer because of a number of reasons. Could be because of natural reasons, distancing, circumstances beyond our control, health, financially. So this issue of a relationship is a growing issue. It's a growing experience. And just like we can grow in our relationship with one another, we can also drift apart in our relationship from one another. Now we have here in the book of Jonah a distancing between God and Jonah. Note there at the end of the third verse, the Bible reads that Jonah went from the presence of the Lord. See, it wasn't God that distanced himself from Jonah. It was Jonah who chose to distance himself from God. How? Why? Good questions. It's simply because of disobedience. Because of Jonah's disobedience, he was afar from God. He purposely and deliberately removed himself, or thought he could remove himself from the presence of God. But my Bible teaches me that God is everywhere present. See, it was disobedience to God's revealed will that led to Jonah's choice to distance. See, God commissioned him to preach the word of God to the people of Nineveh. Note then verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry or preach against it, for their wickedness is come up before us. Jonah chose to distance himself from God by disobedience. The third verse goes on to read that he went down to a port by the name of Joppa. He purchased a ticket to a place called Tarshish, which was in the opposite direction to Nineveh. So we see within chapter 1, Jonah running from God. And he is seen as one that is running from God. Note then verse number 10, please, of chapter 1. Then were the men, that is the men that were within this boat or ship, they were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For we know that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So the men knew, and Jonah confessed that he is running from God. He admits to the sailors that because of him, they find themselves in this vicious storm. Note there in verse number 12, at the end of the verse it reads, for I know that for my sake this great tempest or storm is upon us. So it's ironic that Jonah openly confesses, in fact he tells the sailors, I am a Hebrew. So he's not ashamed of his identity, and he even admits that he is running from God, and it's because of me, said Jonah, we are in this dangerous situation. So the Bible goes on to teach in verse number 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Now it's interesting, the sailors are praying, but we do not read of Jonah praying. I don't see within this whole chapter that Jonah prays. But we see this group of men, these sailors praying. And verse 14 goes on to read, lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So as a result, they cast Jonah into the sea. And verse number 15 tells us that the seas are calm once again. Note then verse number 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now some good has come out of this. The Bible teaches us in verse number 16 concerning the men that they feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. It's sad that God so often has to allow tragedy to prevail in your life and my life to cause us to look up. So some good came from this Jonah experience. But more so, some good came for the life of Jonah. So what becomes of Jonah? The Bible teaches us they took up Jonah in verse number 15 of chapter 1 and cast him forth into the sea. So what becomes of Jonah? We'll look at chapter 1 verse number 17. Verse 17 reads, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So what becomes of Jonah? Well, the Bible teaches us he's swallowed up, but not digested, may I add, by a great fish, the Bible teaches us. And verse number 17 teaches us that he spends 3-4 days and nights, all expenses paid, within this fish's belly. So Jonah has been sent into lockdown. Jonah is being fully isolated. That's a popular word today, is it not? Isolation. This is a God-ordained isolation. He has been sent into lockdown, into a fish's belly, and the Bible teaches us for 3 days and for 3 nights. I looked up the word isolate, since it's a popular word at the moment. It means to be set apart. It means to be separated, isolation. So we see that Jonah is isolated by God. It's not self-isolation. It is a God-ordained isolation. It's not in his own home. It's not in some hotel. But it is within a fish's belly. Certainly not ideal conditions. Turbulent, no doubt. No air conditioning. No fresh water. Only salt water. No food unless you like eating what large fish eat. He was literally up to his eyeballs in seaweed and salt water. No internet. No access to medical assistance. No Centrelink, and no supermarket to stock up on his toilet paper and hand sanitizer and his chocolate biscuits. God has chosen to isolate Jonah. Jonah is alone in a fish's belly. But he is not literally alone. God is ever present. And what good comes from this God-controlled isolation? We see that God will do a work in Jonah's heart. For all of us would admit and understand by this point in our passage of Scripture that Jonah is not where he should be spiritually. Now let me ask you this morning, my friend, are you where you should be spiritually? Where are you at? And maybe this time of isolation from our own wills and wishes is where God will bring us back to Himself in some way. Now, I'd like for us to note in chapter 2 what God does for Jonah while in lockdown isolation. What does God do in the heart of Jonah in this time of isolation, in this time of being set apart, in this time of separation? What does God do in Jonah's heart and life? Well, note then chapter 2, verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed. He prayed. Now in chapter 1, you do not read of Jonah praying. But finally, God gets his attention. He's in the fish's belly, not digested. He's alive, he's conscious, and he prays. I would imagine that not much prayer was taking place in Jonah's life up until this point, while he was running away from God. Even in the boat, he doesn't pray. It's the sailors that pray. He prays. So we see a work of restoration that is taking place in the heart of Jonah. He prays. Then Jonah prayed, let's read on, unto the Lord his God. See, back in chapter 1, the third verse, he ran from the presence of the Lord. But now in chapter 2, verse 1, he prays unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He begins to pray. Well, this time of isolation for Jonah has been a profit. Been profitable already. Not only does he pray, look at verse number 2 and 3. Jonah is humbled. He's no longer full of self-will that caused him to do his own thing and purchase his ticket to Joppa, jump on a boat, and to think that he could run from the presence of God. How foolish! How foolish! Note then verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me or surrounded me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. So we see here in verses 2 and 3 that Jonah is humbled. He begins to pray unto the Lord, verse 1, and here he is humbled. And this humility leads to a refocus. Note there in the fourth verse, chapter 2, verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Jonah refocuses. Jonah is humbled. Jonah prays. And he realizes that he has dug his own grave and he has fallen into it. Look at verse number 5 of chapter 2. And the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. How graphic. How graphic. So Jonah, here in isolation, in the fish's belly, He prays unto God. He hasn't been praying as he once did, no doubt. He's been humbled. He's refocusing. I need to set my focus back on my God. And he realizes I'm in this mess because of the wrong choices I've made. And then in verse number 6, he cries out for mercy. Look at verse number 6, please, of chapter 2. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He acknowledges God's mercy. He acknowledges the fact, here I am in a whale's belly, a large fish's belly, and I'm not consumed. I'm still alive. I haven't been digested. Here I am. I've still got life. So he acknowledges the mercy of God. Look at verse number 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. So he acknowledged God's mercy. He acknowledged the fact that, God, you have sustained me, even though I've been running away from you. You've kept me, you've preserved me, you've been ever merciful to me. And then in verse number 9, we see thankfulness. Look at chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So we see gratitude, thankfulness, and Jonah recommits his life once again to his God. So we see here in chapter 2, in chapter 1, we see that he's running away from God. Let me ask you this morning, are you running away from God? And maybe God has really put you and I into isolation in order to get our attention. For in chapter 2, it's within this time of isolation for Jonah, within the fish's belly, Jonah's spiritual life has been restored. His relationship with the Lord is not only restored, it is now stronger because of this God-ordained isolation. This season within the fish's belly has strengthened, no doubt, the relationship, his relationship with his God. Let me ask you this morning, how personal is your relationship with God? Is he afar off? My Bible teaches me, if I draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to me. So it's not God that drifts away, it's you and I that drift away. And sometimes God needs to put us into isolation. It might not be ideal. Certainly wasn't ideal for Jonah. I think you'd all agree he wasn't comfortable on a human level. But I'm telling you, he was comfortable by the end of it all spiritually, because his relationship with his God was restored. God is purposeful in all that he allows in your life and in my life. He makes no mistakes. So God strengthens the life of Jonah. And note there in chapter 2, verse number 10, please. Upon Jonah recommitting his life to God once again, he said, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Note then verse 10, it reads, and the Lord spake unto the fish. And note this beautiful King James English right here. And it, that is the fish, vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that's not a very nice word. Why would God vomit Jonah onto dry land? I would say he deserved it. Yes, he did. And he probably looked like a blob of vomit by the time he climbed out of that fish's belly. So the Bible's very graphic. Now, when you think of a vomit, you think of a surge, a thrust. So you could just see Jonah flying through the air as this great fish vomited him onto dry land. Beautiful King James English. And note here in chapter 3 what happens now. Verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, God is the God of the second chance, by the way. God is the God of the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. You might say, Pastor, I've used up all my chances. Oh, no, you have not. We serve a God that's gracious and merciful. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, verse number 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So the Bible teaches us that God vomits Jonah upon the dry land. And God comes to Jonah the second time and recommissions him. Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, that very large city. And I want you to preach the message that I've given to you. And note there in verse number 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So Jonah is vomited onto the dry land. And he makes his way to Nineveh. The city is so large that it takes him 3 days to reach the extent of the city. And he preaches a message of judgment. Note then chapter 3, verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So Jonah preaches concerning pending judgment. And the Bible teaches the people repented of their sin. Note then chapter 3 verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. And from verses 5 to 10 we see repentance. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 3. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. See, the Ninevites were a wicked people. They were a horrid people. They were nasty. They were very powerful. They were a very powerful people. Nineveh was the main city of the Assyrians, and they were known for their cruelty. And God, in His grace, provided forgiveness at the message of hope via the lips of Jonah. The Bible teaches the people repented of their sin. And my friend, you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we need to preach that same message in 2020. A message of judgment, that judgment is coming. And this coronavirus is only a drop in the bucket of what is to come for the world in unbelief and in a world that is full of men, women and children that shake their fist at God. Judgment is coming, my friend. For it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. See, God came to Jonah the second time. Our God is the God of the second time, the third time, the fourth time. And Jonah preached boldly what needed to be said. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And you've got 40 days to prepare for that judgment, city of Nineveh. And the Bible teaches us that as the word of God was preached diligently and faithfully, the people of that city repented of their sin. So not only was Jonah restored personally, his ministry was revived. He returns to that initial calling, spelled out in chapter 1, verse number 2, arise and go to Nineveh. See, Jonah was mightily used of God because his relationship with his God was restored. May I ask you again, first and foremost, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again after 3 days. And He offers eternal life to all. And this offer of eternal life is illustrated in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where the Lord Jesus is said to be knocking on a door and asking for entrance. And my friend, this morning, is God knocking on your heart's door? May I challenge you, it's time to let Him in. For judgment is coming. And as Jonah preached a message of judgment, 40 days, Ninevites, you have to repent. And my friend, the Bible teaches us that your life and my life is like a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. And if it's not the coronavirus that gets you, sin will get you one way or another. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And He offers eternal life for men, women and children. Is God knocking on your heart's door this morning? If He is, please admit your need for a Savior. Turn to Jesus Christ and believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. And then simply receive His forgiveness by faith. In the quietness of your own heart, you can pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your own personal Savior. And you can enter into that relationship with Him and be prepared for eternity. You can pray a prayer like, "Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and I deserve death. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and you rose again. And now, the best way I know how, I turn from my sin and I invite you to come into my life to be my personal Savior and give me eternal life." And my friend, if you pray a prayer like that, confess with your lips, believe in your heart, you can be saved right now. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And for those of us that would say, "Yes, Pastor, I do," let me ask you, how personal is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Maybe God's isolation package for us all is for the purpose of you and I drawing closer to our God. See, Jonah was running from God in his heart. I'd like to submit to you all this morning that all of us have a little bit of Jonah within us. Yes, we do. All of us. Will you reacquaint yourself with God this morning? Let me close with Job chapter 22, verse 21. Job chapter 22, verse 21. Turn with me to Job chapter 22, verse number 21. A wonderful verse. Job chapter 22, verse 21 reads, "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. May we acquaint ourselves with our God. If we do, there will be peace. And God's goodness will prevail over your life and in my life. How personal is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Acquaint now thyself with him. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we are thankful for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn from the life of Jonah. We're so encouraged of the reminder this morning that you are the God of the second chance. You not only restored Jonah, but you revived his work. And you chose to still use him for your glory. Thank you for that hope. And Lord God, help us all to see the time, the season that we are in right now could well be to cause us to draw nigh to you, that you might draw nigh to us. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.